Well, guys, good morning. We are so glad that y'all are here today. In case you haven't heard that from anyone, I will say it again. Thank you for coming because we are so glad that you're here this morning. Thank you for joining us at Wake today. So in case we haven't met yet, my name is Luke Barlow. I'm on staff here at Wake. And this summer we've been going through a series that we call More to the Story. And so basically what we've been doing is we've been studying some of the stories that Jesus told in the Gospels. And specifically what we've been doing is we have been finding the why behind those stories that Jesus told, discovering what Jesus was actually communicating in his stories. And so today we're going to keep doing that. So today we're going to study a story called The Parable of the Unforgiving Servant. Before we jump in, what I need you to do is close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to think deeply and think honestly as I ask, what is your greatest struggle? What is the thing you struggle with the most? Whether that be what's the good thing that you struggle to do or the bad thing that you struggle not to do the most. And so as you're thinking about it, maybe a couple are coming to mind. If I had to guess what that was for a lot of you, my guess is it would be something like, I struggle with respecting and listening to my parents. I struggle with doing my work at school excellently. I struggle with bullying or gossiping or not doing those things that, not treating kids other or my friends unkindly. It'd probably be something like that. And you can open your eyes now. But the truth is, I think when I ask that question, I doubt many of you, if any of you would say, my greatest struggle is unforgiveness. And so because of that, I think when I say that we're going to study the parable of the unforgiving servant, there's a temptation to believe, oh, that doesn't really apply to me. I don't really struggle with that. I don't even really know what that means. But I know that I'm okay and I'm good, and I don't think I need that. And I think that that's fair. I think that unforgiveness is kind of an abstract idea. But the truth is, guys, Jesus told this parable as a warning, and he actually ends the parable with a warning. And so Jesus takes unforgiveness really seriously. And so my challenge for us today is that we would too. We would take it seriously. Because the truth is, guys, unforgiveness, when it goes unnoticed and it goes untreated, creeps in. And it ruins your relationships with other people, and ultimately, it can totally spoil your relationship with God. So with that, we're going to study the parable. So before we jump into scripture, I want to give you a little bit of context. In the two verses before Jesus starts talking, Peter asks him a question. Peter, one of his disciples, says, Jesus, how many times do I forgive someone when they sin against me? And he gives a suggestion, maybe up to 7 times. And scripture and commentaries would suggest that Peter is being genuine. He's not like asking, hey, Jesus, what's the bare minimum? He's truly curious. He's saying, hey, Jesus, if someone, the same person, sins against me, hurts me, does me wrong over and over and over again, how many times do I actually forgive them? Because there's probably a limit, right? Because after a while, it feels like forgiveness isn't worth it or doesn't do anything. And so Jesus responds cleverly, and he says, I don't say seven, I say up to 77. Or some verses, or some translations, I'm sorry, say 70 times seven, which is like 490. But the point is, the number doesn't matter. What Jesus is saying is he's saying, hey, Peter, you always forgive. He's saying it does not matter how many times the same person wrongs you, sins against you, hurts you, you always forgive. And then with that, Jesus goes into the parable. And I think when Jesus says you always forgive, that begs two questions. The first one is, why? Okay, Jesus, you're saying that I always forgive when someone hurts me and wrongs me over and over again? Why would I do that? What's the point of that? That feels like I'm letting people take advantage of me or I'm enabling that. And then the second question I think it begs is, how? Jesus, you want me to always forgive even when I know someone's going to hurt my feelings again, going to sin against me again? How on earth do I do that? How is that even possible? And the truth is, I think Jesus foresaw that. Because as soon as he gives Peter the answer, he jumps into the parable. And so that's what we're going to study today. We're going to study the parable. We're going to learn about the characters and what they represent. And then we're going to answer those two questions of why and how we keep on forgiving. Okay? So as we think about that, let's jump in. So we're jumping into Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7, but 77. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So real quick, just so you understand, back in those days, what kings would do is they would loan out their money to their servants and their officials, and they would say, hey, go make me more money. I'm going to give you $1,000. go invest it, go use it, and bring me back 2,000. That's what he would do. So when it says he wants to settle the accounts, it just means he wants to get his money back. So that's what he says. He says he wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So it says, as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master, or this king, ordered that this man and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. So that kind of sounds like a lot, kind of sounds harsh. What I want you guys to understand so far is that that's not an unfair thing. This man, this servant of the king who owes him 10,000 bags of gold, that is millions and millions of dollars. It is a crazy amount of debt. And so for the king to say, hey, I'm going to sell you and your wife and your children and everything you have to pay back that debt, that's not even going to come close to it. This man is so indebted to the king that there's literally nothing he can do. And so with that, it says that, at this servant fell on his knees before him, before the king, and said, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. And what I want you guys to know is that that's a lie. That servant could never pay back the king. I don't know if you guys know this, but back in Bible times, they didn't have cryptocurrency or investment funds. Like, there was no way to make money other than to just earn your wage by your job. And so there's no way this man ever would have earned millions of dollars. It's just not possible. And so for him to say, just give me more time and I'll pay it back, that was a lie. It's not true. But look at how the king responds. It says, the servant's master, the king, took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. And so that's crazy. The king said, you know what? Out of the kindness of my heart and out of the compassion that I have for you, you're good. You're good. You're free. I cancel the debt. That debt that you never would have been able to pay back, you're okay. And so like that's the best news ever, because that servant has got to be thinking, oh my goodness, wow. I mean, I'm the luckiest man in the world, because I never would have been able to do that. And here I am. I'm free. I'm a free man. And so then what happens is this servant interacts with someone. And so let's see what happens. It says, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants. So this is servant number two, new guy. And it said, servant number two owed him 100 silver coins. So to give you an estimate, that's like $5,000 to $7,000. So it's a lot of money, but it's not as much as the millions and millions. And so it says that servant one grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. But his fellow servant, servant two, fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. So we've heard this before, right? It's the same thing. It's happening again. But this man, this first servant that had the debt forgiven, now he's on the other side. And now he's owed the debt. And servant number two, who owes him significantly less amount of money, an amount that he definitely could pay back, says, just be patient with me. And so how does servant one, how does this main character respond? It says, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. So what does he do? He does the opposite. He says, no, I don't forgive you. You have to pay back what you owe. So it says, when the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged. They went and told the king or their master everything that happened. And then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And then it says, in anger, his master, the king, handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he paid back all he owed. So that's the story, right? A man owes a king millions of dollars. He can never pay it back. The king forgives him. Then he turns around and finds a man who owes him money, significantly less. And when he asks for forgiveness, when he asks just for more time, he refuses. And the king finds out, and he's outraged, and he throws him in jail. So that's the story. So again, we're answering this question of why and how do we keep on forgiving. Before we do that, we need to identify the characters in the story and what they represent, because this story is a parallel. And I think you guys get it, but we're just going to make sure. So I'm going to ask you guys who certain characters and certain things represent, and I want you to shout them out to me, okay? So the first person is, who is the king? Who does the king represent, or the master? Yeah, that's exactly right. The king represents God. We get that. God is king. He's our master. So here's the question. What does the money, the millions of dollars that the servant owes him, what do the millions of dollars of debt represent?
Sin.
That's right. That's exactly right. It represents the debt of sin. So God is our king. We're his servant. And we owe God a debt. Because we're in sin and he is perfect, we owe him the debt of paying for our sin. It's a crazy amount of debt that we can't pay. And so, this is an easy one. What's the forgiveness of the debt? When he cancels the debt, what does that represent?
The
exactly right. Grace, the goodness of God, the gospel. It represents God forgiving us of our sins because of the work of Jesus. That's right. You guys, you're nailing it. And then the last question, what does the second servant and his debt, what does that represent? Oh, it's a little harder. That's good. So I'll tell you. The second servant who owes the 100 silver coins, that is representative of other people in your life who have sinned against you. So we understand God has forgiven us a massive debt of sin, but there are other people in your life who have sinned on a much smaller scale against you. And so what this parable is this parable is a picture of the gospel and a response to the gospel. That's what it is. And so as you can probably tell, it's a picture of the gospel and it's a picture of this servant's response to it, and he responds poorly. He has the wrong response. That's why the king throws him back in jail, because he missed it. He missed the gospel. He missed the grace of the master. And so I'm going to answer the question of why we keep on forgiving. The reason we keep on forgiving is because God's greatest act of love towards us is his forgiveness. Therefore, the greatest way we love God and others is forgiveness. Right? God's greatest gift to us, the greatest act of love, is that he saw you and your sin and your debt of sin, and he forgave it out of the kindness of his heart through the work of Jesus. And so therefore, the way that we reflect God, honor God, love others, the greatest way we do that is when we forgive others. So that's the why we keep on forgiving. And what I want you guys to know before we answer how, there's a couple things you need to understand. The first is that the world says the opposite of this. The message of forgiveness is countercultural to the world. Okay, because this is what the message of the world is. It says, hey, get what you deserve. Look out for yourself. If other people are in your way, don't let them be. Move them out of the way. Hey, if someone sins against you, you don't owe them anything. You don't have to take steps towards them until they take a step towards you, because they're the one that wronged you. So you don't have to do anything. That's the message of the world. Guys, if you went on Dallas Experience, you know this. And if you didn't, I'm going to tell you. Those kids that we got to hang out with and serve, they have been taught that message. They've been taught the message of get what you deserve. And so something we had to deal with a lot was fighting, because kids would get mad at each other and they would hit. And this kid that got hit would get enraged, and we'd have to pull him back and say, hey, you can't hit back. And he would say, yes, I can. I can hit back. They did me wrong. I deserve to do them wrong back. And we spent so much time coaching kids on what forgiveness was, because it was a message that they didn't understand, because the world has taught them otherwise. So it's countercultural. I need you guys to get that. But here's the truth, guys. The message of the world is get what you deserve. But Romans 6:23 says the wages, the punishment, what we deserve because of sin is death. And so if we lived by that message of get what you deserve, none of us would be here. You see, we act like the world is supposed to be fair. The world's not fair, because God has forgiven you of a debt that you can never pay. And so the message of the world doesn't work with the gospel. And with that, what I want you guys to understand, this is a really important part, is that the second servant in the story owed a debt, right? He owed this man a debt. And it wasn't like a small amount of money. It was like thousands of dollars. And so I don't want you to think that this story is about an overreaction. It's not about a man who overreacted to a small amount of debt. This man, this second servant, was truly in debt to the first. And the reason that's really important is because there are some of you today that have seriously been hurt. There are things that have happened to you and that have been done to you that you did not deserve, that you didn't earn. And there's real hurt and there's real pain. And I just need you to hear me and say, man, even though we're called to forgive, that does not diminish pain you've experienced. And man, if there's some of you here that are like, I hear what you're saying and it hurts my heart because I can't forgive because of the wrong that's been done. I just need you to hear me say, like, man, we love you and God loves you and he sees your pain. And we want to know, we want to walk with you towards healing and towards forgiveness. Not just for the sake of obedience, but for the sake of healing. Okay, so if that's you today, just know we love you. And we understand that you have been hurt. And nothing about the message of forgiveness diminishes that. God knows your pain. The Bible says that Jesus is able to sympathize with every weakness that we have. And that's true. And so as we talk about how to forgive, don't hear me say that your pain doesn't matter if you can't forgive, because that's not true. That's not true to us, and that's not true to God. And so with that, we're going to walk through, man, how are some of the ways that we forgive? And the first point is that the first step to forgiveness is to trust God. It's to trust God. Revelation 21:4, which is a book that talks about the very end of time. It says this, God says this. Or it says this about God. It says, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, crying, nor pain anymore, because the former things have passed away. And so for some of you, maybe that's your first step, is that you have to believe that. And I know that it's hard. But this is the promise that God gave us, that one day he's going to take away the pain. He's going to make everything wrong right. And we live with that hope. We live according to that hope in the midst of pain. And that's the first step of forgiveness. We have to believe that promise, that God is going to make all things right one day. The second way is that we seek unity. And so what I mean by this is kind of confusing. And so here's what I mean. I'm going to read James 2, 12 and 13. It said, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. All that means is speak and act by someone who's going to be given grace. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who hasn't been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And then I want to read another verse from 1 Peter 3. It says, all of you have unity of mind. Be together. Have sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, humble mind. All the things. Be together. Be one. Be unified. Don't repay evil for evil or insult for insult. But on the contrary, it says, bless so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life, see good days, keep their tongue from evil. How does it keep going? Keep their tongue from evil. Keep his lips from deceit. Let him turn from evil. Do good. And then the last part, they must seek peace and pursue it. So what this message is about mercy triumphing over judgment and seeking peace and not all that saying is God is saying, hey, mercy and unity is better. It's better. It's healing. And guys, the truth is we haven't really talked about this yet, but the truth is unforgiveness creates bitterness. It creates isolation. It creates frustration. It creates a complex of, I can't trust anyone. I can't let anyone in. It creates the lies that no one is for you. That's what happens when you live in unforgiveness. And the truth is, guys, I know this. Because just this week, I have realized how much I struggle with unforgiveness, partly in preparing this message. But the people that I love most, man, I have learned that when I don't forgive, I cannot have grace for them. I cannot be understanding to their circumstances when I'm not able to forgive. And I have experienced that this week. And I've had to ask for forgiveness to the people that I love most because I haven't been able to forgive. And so I haven't been able to show grace. I haven't shown mercy. And so when we have a mind to seek unity, to seek to be one, to seek the benefit of others, to bless in spite of hurt and in spite of insult, we forgive and we create unity. And then as I'm closing with the third point, I want to go back to something I said. I said Jesus told this parable as a warning. So what was the warning? The last verse of this passage, after the man or the king throws the servant in jail, in verse 35, it says, this is how my father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister. And that sounds really scary, and I don't want you to think that this is works-based. The Bible's super clear. Ephesians 1, 2 Corinthians 1. If you believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life, you're sealed by the Spirit. You cannot lose that. You're safe. You're safe in his arms. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's Romans 8. So why did Jesus say that? It's because the truth is, guys, we cannot understand the gospel and forgiveness unless we understand the weight of our sin. Let me say that again. You cannot understand the gospel in the forgiveness of God unless you understand the massive weight of your sin. And so point number three is you have to understand the weight of your sin. The truth is that $1 million debt that that servant owes the king, that is you and that is me. I owe God a debt of or a debt for sin that I could never, ever pay, ever. And the fact that he's forgiven me is crazy. And the truth is, guys, I think I said this maybe the last time I've talked, but I am trying to wake up every day. And the first thing I'm trying to do, I'm trying to discipline myself, is to truly preach the gospel to myself every day, to remind myself of the weight of my sin every day and remind myself the immeasurable grace and mercy of God that he's given me. And from that understanding, we're able to forgive others. And we find healing. And we create unity. And so I just want you to hear me say as I close that if you've become numb to the gospel, if it is not resonating with you, the truth that God loves you so much that he sent Christ to die that you might know him and love him and be freed from the penalty of your sin, remind yourself daily, daily. And then my challenge is, man, wherever you're at in this process of understanding the weight of your sin, trusting God, and seeking unity with others, wherever you're at in that process of forgiveness, take one step. Maybe one step is just memorizing scripture that helps you trust God. Maybe one step is just talking to one person that's wronged you and said, hey, I just want you to know you hurt my feelings and I forgive you and I'm seeking to forgive. Whatever your first step is, do it. And remember this, guys, that the God of the universe loves you so much that he offers you forgiveness without hesitation, without asking for anything in return, because he loves you so deeply. And from that, we forgive others. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your forgiveness. Lord, we owe you a debt that we can never pay back. And because of your mercy and your grace, Lord, you chose to offer salvation and forgiveness of sin so that we might know you and tell others about you and love others the same way you've loved us, the love with forgiveness. And so God, help us do that wherever we're at in our journey of forgiving others, whatever hurts we're experiencing, whatever pains that have been done to us, Lord. I pray that you would help us remember the gospel and let that be a source of healing. I pray that you would bring healing. I pray that you'd give us the courage, the boldness, the strength, and the faith in you to begin to forgive others. God, we love you and we pray this in your name. Amen.